It looks like the old trick that I used to use of dismissing messages and trying to keep things in order ain't gonna work anymore because there were about five updated messages that were dismissed. So the headline now, silly me, 3x3 video seems to be a big thing. Let's roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
The 365 Message Center Show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. We should add a third or fourth one, which is like keep up to date with changes in the Message Center itself and the way that it's laid out.
I think so. So hello, everyone. This is Daniel Glenn. And of course, this show is all about covering the announcements of what's coming in your tenant and telling you what's important, maybe what's not and what's missing. We would like to show you everything that is coming and it's been announced, but some of it's not even in our tenants yet. So we can't show you or demonstrate, but we'll talk about it and make sure that you're informed about things that are coming. Let's get right into it.
All right. Yeah, let's do that because we do have some updated updates, which kind of make things kind of important. But we are opening up with our headline, 3x3 video, or sorry, officially, new feature. Changes to video layout in Teams meetings. MC209274. That's my best robotic. It's kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it's something that, you know, everybody's been calling for since, especially, well, before this whole, you know, everyone working from home or working remotely. People have been talking about, hey, I'd like to have more than just four people in my main video experience in Teams. However, you know, since people are doing more remote, it is, I think the voices have spoken louder and more often about wanting to do that. Given that, you know, there are some other video services that provide that capability. I personally am, yes, I'd like this. There's talk about even making it more than just, you know, nine, the 3x3 kind of matrix, but more than that. I'm not sure I'm going to like it more than that. You know, if you've got more videos and all that, I want to manage who I see rather than,
I
you know, just who's
this.
Spoken last.
I want to illustrate this. And like I saw that there was a thread on Twitter, which people I'm taking a break because man, there's just too many channels in my life right now. So I'm taking a break on Twitter. But one of the last ones I saw before I tuned out was, yeah, we're going to look at going to 16x16. I don't know if the product manager was serious, but let me illustrate something here. Let's see if this is going to work. So here's our zoomed in 3x3. Where am I? I mean, I look pretty good in this picture. You know, where is my image? Oh, we could forget the kind of like, you know, Daniel and Daryl over there. But if I was in this Teams meeting, I'm in the bottom right hand corner, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's kind of estimate there. If this is 3x3 now, right now that image of me is probably twice as wide as a 3x3. So if we had 6x6 at a minimum, it looks like my image would cover the person in the bottom right of a 6x6.
Well, your image would be smaller. And so I think that's where we get diminishing returns. And it may actually
appropriate
be that
choice of
you
words, my friend.
Right. Yes. That I chose wisely there. That maybe the, you know, your image is not that important, or maybe your image just becomes one of the images. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I agree with you. I think the more video you get, and I feel like it's the more video get, the more distracting it'll be. And I feel like it's in the same vein as the whole custom backgrounds deal. I just feel, you know, same thing with custom backgrounds. I don't want to be distracted. I want to get the job done so I can get out of this meeting. I'm not here to have fun unless it's a fun meeting, right? Unless all you're doing is just horsing around just to make sure you connect with people. If it's a meeting, I want to get to the point so I can get out of the meeting. I don't want to, you know, so I think the whole videos, you know, expanding the number and all that, you know, 3x3, I think it's going to be interesting to get this. we'll see how people like this and see if it's more distracting than it is beneficial. I also think it's very interesting about how, you know, more people have been using Teams and the experience has been degraded a little bit with video and recordings and everything because of the bandwidth. Now they're going to increase even more video that's coming in. So it's just going to be interesting to see that. But I like seeing improvements. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Take a look at the message, though, and I didn't see this until moments before the show. While you have the ability to go to 3x3, apparently it'll adjust itself based on your available bandwidth. So if you are having a poor experience, it might only show 2x2.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a lot to cover. So this one could be a side chat if you want, a deep dive, but yeah, lots of opinions there, and it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You are going to find some messages here we're going to go over pretty quickly because we can or can't necessarily remember whether we've covered them. But yeah, some of them have been updated. Was this one updated?
This one, it was updated about sharing links with specific people, but I can't find the edit. No. So
okay, let's skip really over that one. Usually, and we've got used to this, they will put at the front of the message that it has been updated.
That's 209.098, but we've covered that.
Yeah.
So here we are with updates to Outlook for iOS and Android. And I think... there's actually a few messages this week that kind of follow this this formatting where here are the updates and that with the IDs matching to the roadmap. I'm really enjoying that. So the first one here is the rollout of support for S/MIME in Outlook for Android so that you can get that automated certificate delivery. Fantastic. As everyone knows that are fans of the show, I like consistency. So making sure that we support the same types of functionality on desktop and web and in the mobile clients is something I really want. So, and then what about this one? The visual cues that differentiate personal accounts from work or school. What do you think about this one?
I think it's important. When you're looking at consolidating all your email into one client. Some people prefer to try and keep their personal and like the native email account because they like the integration that might happen within the phone and other various devices. But if you're bringing it all into Outlook, it does get a little confusing. And the icons are going to help that if you see this is an Office 365 logo, so it's going to be work or school. This one's going to be a personal account because it looks like Gmail or it looks like Outlook.com. And it looks like that covers both the second and the third part of this message, that it'll help you differentiate between there's an email as a visual cue and your contacts as a visual cue. Wonder what they're going to do with the calendar. I think that's really just down to colors and categories, I guess. But
yeah, I would say so. And the thing I did miss was the number. So this is MC209415, updates to Outlook for iOS and Android. I know. The one thing that I don't see on this message at all is timeline. When are they going to do this? Now, they do have links to the roadmap updates themselves. So take a look at that for like the first one has a release of May on the roadmap. But of course, we like to see it here in the message center. So when we're consuming these messages, whether it's through Planner or some other method, we know when to look for them.
Yep. Teams update to provide enhanced meeting and administration controls for security and insecurity enhancements. That's MC209349. There's a few in there. Updated policies for lobby enforcement, policy package to a batch for Teams users.
So I want to make sure there's one that I really wanted to point this out. The first one on this is update default policy to enforce lobby and meetings. So what this will do actually is the default will now be everyone in company within your organization will be able to join the meeting without being in the lobby. And then anyone who's not will be in a lobby. Okay, and so that's going to be the default. And then anyone who calls in, so doesn't actually use the audio through Teams, but uses the phone to dial in, then they will automatically go to the lobby. And so that's going to be the default. So you'll have to allow them in, which is, I think, okay, because with phone-in users, you're not, you do lose a little bit of understanding of who that is.
Yeah.
Right? Because who is that person that's dialing in? So making them part of a lobby, I think, is good. I think it goes along with another improvement that they're making that we'll talk about in a little bit that I like, and when it comes to meetings, but making that lobby, just want to make sure that you understand that, that that's what's happening there.
Yeah, I might have misread that somewhere, but I think if and I don't often see this in organizations, but sometimes there's a need to have people in a policy where they're not a meeting creator. And if you're in that category, I think I read it here somewhere, that, that even then you might be in the organization, you just don't have the permission to create meetings. You too will have to go to the lobby. Don't have time to look at that closer, but I think it was in there somewhere. Was there anything else in this one? Who can present? That was another one that's kind of important too.
And so these are defaults. Remember, this is the default policy. You can create other policies, but if you went and edited the default policy, you know, you know how to manage this. But yes, who can present in Teams meetings? That is rolling out in early May. And then the join experience is rolling out in end of April. So I think the user experience improvements here for, especially, and I like this one for the call-in users, is masking the phone number for those that are not in the tenant. So for, think about if you have, you know, multiple people dialing in or guests and joining in, you know, it's kind of a security feature. Don't show the phone number, full phone number of the person calling in, except to those that are in the tenant. So they know, you know, if I'm scheduling a meeting, I want to know who's called in. So you'll be able to do that. That's at the very end of this message. And I think there's just a lot here to unpack, and from an admin perspective. So this is an admin message for sure. You need to be making sure you read this all.
One level higher as an opinion about this, I pity the organizations that only have one person to read this message center, keep up to date, determine what is important or not. This today, right now, feels like it's a shared experience. And if you're a certain expert in a certain area, you're the team's admin, you're the SharePoint admin, you're the whatever admin, it's going to be far easier to dish these things out and manage them.
Agreed.
We've got some updates to Office 365 Pro Plus. You know where to find those updates.
And there's nothing really there, just security updates and patches.
And it's so always underneath the additional information. That's where you go off to that really useful page of what has changed this month. Priority notifications promotion extended to April 1st. This is one that was updated.
Yeah, and it's extended actually to July 1st. So the title is what it originally was, which was April 1st, but they've actually extended the promotion to July 1st. So make sure you go back and watch our show and or listen to the podcast where we talk about this. But it's basically being able to, everyone in the organization being able to do those urgent notifications in Teams so that everyone sees it, and it polls people until they read it. So, make sure you check that one out.
Oh, and just like adding to that, that a certain license, once you get past a threshold, you will have to pay. But we don't have to do that till after July 1st. Nice.
That's right.
And might I say the appropriateness of that, because we're needing to use urgent notifications sometimes to get hold of people.
That's right.
Your new feature, global reader experience in new SharePoint Admin Center. Again, that's updated from 19th of December. April 15th update is, MC198602. To ensure proper experience, we're extending the rollout timeline for this feature.
Yep. So instead of March, it's early April is when they started to roll this out. So it's already started to roll out, but it's supposed to be done by the end of this month, April, which was previously March. So Yep. The next one is the feature update secure by default, MC208307. Again, they're just extending the rollout time. It was previously April this month. Now it's mid-May for that.
Seeing a trend here. I guess they've been busy and they've had to push a few deadlines out, right?
Yeah, well, yes, maybe so. But this one is a great one.
New
I like this
feature.
One.
New feature. new rich text.
We should have a button that says new feature.
Oh, yeah. We could get that in somewhere, I guess. Whether or not you could hear it or not. You know, right. System audio sharing and stuff like that. Oh, that's another update. Rich text editor for fields in SharePoint lists. It is a choice that you will have soon. MC209530, where if you want to make your text look a little fancy, put in a little richness, make it flavorsome, then it'll look great in your... Well, look, they're doing conditional formatting. They're allowing you to do various things. Why not let rich text come... You're looking at me funny. Okay.
So this one is nice, being able to do rich text. I think the what's going to be interesting, though, is the user experience that when you're editing, you have to click this pencil button. This pencil icon to then open up the experience. Just like, you know, in Teams where you have to click the button to open up the full experience to create a subject and all that. Mm. Well, this is, you know, in SharePoint, we're going to have to click that button. I'm not entirely sure, you know, I like that totally, but we're getting that the rich text. So I'm enjoying that part.
So that's a switch. And when you're editing that columns, you're signaling, yes, I want to allow enhanced rich text on this one. And it's only for text fields, isn't it? It's not for other stuff. Interesting, though. Okay, so once you're into editing that, you've got you can link to something. So that's linking to a Google site, a Google page, and you edit it. And what's the experience? Rich text. Choose your font. Oh, that's going to drive some branding people nuts. We better move on before we drive them nuts. that's not the standard font. Well, why can't I upload my own fonts?
Speaking of standard fonts and not having them, updated feature, Yammer Conversations web part for SharePoint.
How do you link that to fonts? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. MC209666.
Dun, dun, dun.
Updating the Yammer Conversations web part for SharePoint. This is the new Yammer view. So they're updating the web part so that we'll be able to create a Yammer post directly in SharePoint, any type of Yammer post. We'll be able to upload images and files into Yammer Conversations directly while we're still on the SharePoint page and start a new conversation in any community within that web part. I'm loving that. I think the bringing that experience into SharePoint so we don't have to switch back and forth between, you know, we've talked about that before. We've been able to do some things and read for a while post, but bringing this experience in, the new experience, bringing it in with this web part is a good thing.
I think that we could create new posts. And the biggest thing for me here is that it's the modernized Yammer, which haven't they already had and used that modern tag? I don't know. It's the new version of Yammer, and you can see that in there. We could update by adding a post. We could add a picture. I think we could add something else. There is like at least one new experience in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But the main thing for me is it looks like the new Yammer. So if that's rolling out to you, then that's going to be available as the web part as well.
That's right.
Yeah, consistency. All right.
Well, consistency, but if you want consistency, don't look at the bottom of this message, which has no information about, how you can update your training or any sort of blog post or any sort of information like that. So if you're wanting consistency, please ignore this message.
How do I update my users? Well, the font is in black and dark. Wow. No, it's not. I can't highlight the missing text. I guess it's just assuming it's that standard message. You may want to update your training and resources.
That's right. Targeted release, getting it early May to mid-May. Standard release tenants will be mid-May to mid-June.
Mm-hmm. And?
All right.
Oh, this is another updated update. Update the 7th of awareness. So this is our ongoing saga, the continuing story. No, I'm starting to draw from
MC207439. This is the awareness of Microsoft's 365 temporary feature adjustments. This update has to do with Stream. You're not going to be able to search, do video search results that include transcripts. So, so search within transcripts is the way I should put it for those in US East or Europe West regions. Search it'll, so for the titles and the descriptions of those videos, you'll be able to search through, but you won't be able to search transcriptions. Again, it's just US East and Europe West regions. And I believe that's because I'm just
Are they the heaviest hit data centers, maybe?
Yes. US East is huge. I know, and is used quite often. But so that's what this update's all about. Just a kind of a running list of the things that won't work for right now.
Well, look, to be honest, they don't work right now for me, even in our region, because if I search for certain words, they go, what? Because they have trouble with transcripts and Australian and New Zealand accents. So we wouldn't miss it. Hey, you want to send some spare cycles to the US East and just turn it off in our tenant? That's fine. we can process stuff for you remotely. Sorry, Australian data centers. I know you probably wouldn't want me to commit those resources. Moving on to new feature with native mode alignment tool for Yammer now available in your network. This is MC209703. More important for those of you who are in native mode for Yammer and not connected mode to the Office 365 tenant. I guess there are still some organizations out there that are running Yammer as a native mode thing and not connecting it entirely integrated into Office 365. But yeah, this alignment tool will help you make that journey easier.
Yeah, and this is, remember, you can't be in native mode to do certain things like connect to Office 365 groups and other things. So you have to switch to take into account some of those new features that are happening.
I think the key thing that makes it challenging for those who are still trying to reconcile this is that you might have multiple Yammer networks. You might have gone through an acquisition of sorts, and both of you are heavy Yammer users. So there's I don't really want to give up the stuff that's in this network because that's really valuable. Well, I don't want to either. So you're still living out of two houses. But that journey apparently is going to become easier. I can't say I've read a lot more about this, but get into it.
Well, there's definitely some information there for those that need to get into, and eDiscovery is something else that was pointed out. You need this. So, that native mode does support eDiscovery, but you need to check out all the reasons why and all the functionality, but check out all the posts that are linked in this message so that you can understand why you need to use this tool or why you don't.
Exactly. An update to tags. All right, so tags was first talked about on 14th of November, extending the rollout. All right, so some of us have it, some of us don't have it yet. Just to say that if you haven't got it yet, it's still coming for you. It will be completed by the end of June. But it's a good feature. You know, I'm finding it quite useful in our team and making some logical groupings in some teams that we have to get a hold of them. It's another updated one. A new feature, OneDrive Sync version history, MC205517. First talked about 5th of May. It's again going to be pushing out to mid-May. Got a activity column.
Yeah, so this is the activity column in OneDrive for Business being retired, MC209708. Retiring this column in OneDrive and shared libraries. So if you basically they're retiring because they are seeing it not being used. And so you can, if you're not using it, then you can disregard it. But if you are using it, too bad. So they're going to be getting rid of it. And what do you need to do to prepare? You may consider updating your training. Yeah, well, especially if it is something that you have trained people on or people are using. So, yeah.
Yeah. Activity column. I'm sure they'll find a use for those resources somewhere. Yeah, this is another updated one. Feature update, command bar menu updates to Power Automate, formerly known as Flow, 208 MC2853356. I think this was that label change. It's going from Flow to Power Automate, and
that's exactly what it. And doing some reorg, and they're just pushing out the rollout to end of April.
Mm-hmm. Yep, not too far away. Here we go. So Teams meeting and chat experience improvements, which if you were astute, you would have noticed that the headline for this episode was involving something in here, and we quickly changed it when we realized that we hadn't covered the 3x3. So this is MC209710, three things to talk about with Teams meetings and chat experiences. First one, easily access meeting options from within Teams while the meeting is in progress.
Oh. Yeah, this is big. This is huge because, you know, changing who can, you know, those meeting settings, who can join and who can present, you know, join as a presenter or not. I mean, just some of these the settings for meetings and be able to just do it while the meeting is in progress is fantastic. So accessing that is rolling out end of April. And I'm loving that. The second one though, I'm really liking, and that's kind of, you know, you're going to be able to do that while you're in the meeting so that, you know, it's going to be in the participant, I guess, in the people section.
Yeah. It was interesting. So, yeah. It's almost like I saw a couple of educators talking about this very thing, saying that they had the need to, in a sense, take the role for who's attended class, and they wanted to be able to do that. And then, ta-da, here's the feature. But I think the drawback here, two drawbacks for me. You have to enable it in PowerShell. And since someone's going to do it, it's done, right? It's on. Thank you very much. But secondly, if you don't remember to do this till after the meeting, tough.
Right? Too bad.
You've got to grab list while it's in progress.
Yeah, downloading that participant report, I think, is huge. What is confusing to me a little bit here is if you look at the actual item on the roadmap, it's tagged as education. So I'm not sure if it's just education or if it applies to everybody, because I want this too. I want to see a download, be able to download a list as well, especially for community events and such, instead of having to watch what's going on or who came to my lunch and learn while I'm presenting for in the company. I want to see who came, you know, who joined. Yes, you pointed out the two things. It's enabled by PowerShell. It's disabled by default. So you got to do PowerShell. So you got to be an admin. And then the second is you got to download it before you leave the meeting or close the meeting. If you don't, then it's lost.
Is that enough to go back to the chat, and you can see where people join and leave the meeting? Surely you could go back.
If it's a channel meeting, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm all for this attendee report. I think it's needed and I'm loving it. So, and then the third one is the playing audio, playing on the presenter device with a shared in a live event.
Live events, that key thing.
Yes, it is key there to understanding that. But being able to, you know, I want to show a video during my live event from my desk, you know, from my machine while I'm presenting, you know, being able to do that, I think it's great.
Yeah, a side comment here, like a couple of videos that have been absolutely pounded on my YouTube channel have been this very thing for regular meetings. Where do we turn on the share system audio? I think that a lot of the visitors are actually teachers because they're wanting to play videos, they're wanting to talk through podcasts, they're wanting to pass comment. And the features changed around a couple of times, which is why I had to do two versions of the video, because it was there and it was shifted, now it's shifted back. But the other comment was, we want this for live events. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yep.
Last big one. Time. Last one. Review mode in Word. This is cool. New feature, review mode in Word for web prevents unintended edits. That's MC209728. Not obvious from the title, but what this means is I can share this with you, Daniel. I can say you're allowed to see this document. You're not going to be able to make edits to the document itself, but I'm going to allow you to make comments in there and put yourself in kind of a review edit mode. Mode only.
Mm. Review mode. So the key here, though, is there is a difference whether you open the document on your desktop or open it in the web, mm-hmm. which is weird to me. I don't like it. So the difference is if you open the document in Word desktop app, then you're only going to be able to view. So if you do that, you're not even going to be able to, you know, make any of those comments.
Yeah.
So you'll get a pop-up in Word that says, open this in the web to be able to add comments. I'm not sure. Maybe you can explain this to me. I'm not sure why that difference is needed. Is it a technology thing or is it a usage thing? I'm not sure, but
I reckon it's a release thing. We often see things come to the web to start with, and then there's got to be some change to the desktop software, some change to the apps to make this possible. Yeah. I think that's it.
Gotcha. I think this is great. So being able to add comments or leaving track changes on the document, but not being able to edit. I love it. Give me some input on this, but I don't want you in there messing around because then I have to figure out what you did.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Very cool. Not too bad considering all the different bits and pieces that were thrown back in there in terms of updates. Mm-hmm. We'll see you again next week. What do you reckon? Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.